This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Bringing Joe Barnwell to 98.7 ESPN, ESPN staff writer. Very analytical when it comes to a lot of things NFL. Bill, you had the article on Sam Darnold, and we certainly want to go there in a moment. But my first question is surrounding Cam Newton. All I've heard is such optimism and what a brilliant signing it was. Do you agree with that? Is this just an absolute no-brainer? Do you see any downside at all, if there is any at all from New England?
I don't see any downside. I mean, if he doesn't make the team, if he's not good enough, he's hurt, he doesn't make the roster. And this is a Tim Tebow situation. We forget it ever really happened. Nobody has a Tim Tebow Patriots jersey. And if he does make the roster, I think he's going to be healthy and productive enough to be a valuable part of that football team. I think, obviously, the injuries are a concern, but a guy who was healed from shoulder injury in training camp last year, suffered a Lisfranc injury to his foot, obviously, a brutal injury and ended up being a season-ending injury after he tried to come back from it. But that's an injury you can heal from. We've seen guys like Taysom Hill, Matt Schaub come back from that injury and play productive quarterback after that. So I do think we could see a healthy Cam Newton on that roster. And I do think history says when he's healthy, he's a really good quarterback.
Bill, before we get into the Sam Darnold article, which, reading through it, it depressed me. I'm not going to lie. It definitely depressed me. But let's talk about some happy news. Pat Mahomes signs the 10-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. People see the number. Ends up being, total of 12 years, up to $503 million, $500 million. What are your thoughts on the deal? I look at it as a win-win on both sides. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I agree. I think in the big picture, it's going to help both teams, both parties. Mahomes wanted a special contract. He wanted something that really stood out. He has a resume like nobody else in football history. I think it's fair to say, winning a Super Bowl, winning league MVP in his first two seasons as a starter. So to me, I think having something like that does make sense. For the Chiefs, they had leverage with him being 2 years away from free agency. So they get those friendly sort of terms early in the contract, and they don't have to pay him an exorbitant sum of money on the back end. I do think the guarantees make it likely he's going to be on the roster, but he probably would have been anyway, unless he gets, significantly injured I can't imagine the reason why he would not be on the roster. And I think, honestly, even though you're getting to the end of that deal, it might be $50 million a year. Given how the cap has risen over the course of the last decade, given how quarterback contracts have worked, that could still be a bargain. So I do think the Chiefs are making a big commitment, but I think it's actually pretty reasonable money for Patrick Mahomes if he's the guy we've seen for 2 years.
Bill, in terms of new money average, this pushes the quarterback market to $45 million a year from $35 million a year. How will that affect guys like Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson?
I think it's going to be different. I think this is so unique because it's such a long-term contract. And in the case of guys like Dak and Deshaun Watson, they want shorter contracts. They want to hit free agency down the line 3 years from now. Look at this contract for Patrick Mahomes, for example. For the next 5 years, he's making a little over $141 million, which is about $28 million a year. The numbers we've heard for Dak Prescott on a five-year contract are about $35 million per year. So, Dak Prescott's deal is going to be for more than Patrick Mahomes got over the first 5 years of that new contract. I think it's just, because so much of that money is in the future, it's really going to be hard to apply that to guys who want shorter contracts because this is really two separate contracts for Patrick Mahomes.
All right, Bill Barnwell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Bill, the reason we wanted to have you on is you wrote this article last week. Is this Sam Darnold's last chance, a progress report on the Jets quarterback and what to expect in 2020? So let's go big picture here. Are we really at the point where you look at this as year three as the last chance for Sam Darnold?
I don't think it's out of the question. To me, I would rather give him two more years. That's my personal opinion. But you remember, the coach and GM who took Sam Darnold are no longer employed by the Jets organization. This is a guy who, of course, the offensive line has been a problem. The injuries have been, perhaps unfairly and unrealistically a concern. The receivers have not been great. But, is he making those guys better? I'm not sure. I have to feel like from watching him play, from looking at the numbers, especially from watching him play, I think that's the biggest thing here. There are moments where Sam Darnold looks awesome. He looks like he is a absolute, prototypical franchise quarterback. It just doesn't happen all that frequently. And some of that's pressure, some of that is injuries. But even when he doesn't have pressure, even when he doesn't have injuries, he's still someone who does make a lot of mistakes. And those guys, sometimes they get better, sometimes they don't. And if you're the Jets and you're sitting here after 3 years and you have a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy for an extended period of time, who hasn't elevated your roster. If you have another top five pick, I think you would at least consider drafting a quarterback.
Bill, when looking at his tape in breaking down the last couple of years, offensive line hasn't been great. Weapons haven't been great. I mean, we all understand that. Mm-hmm. But as far as just him as a quarterback, what's one big thing you look at and say he has to improve on this season?
I think he has to improve in his decision-making. I think he is a quarterback who sort of tries to make that spectacular play a little too frequently. And I think some of the decisions he makes in those situations just aren't feasible. When it comes to NFL defenses, they're just too good. They just sort of squeeze those holes. They just sort of, close things up too quick for you to, fit that pass into a tiny window 25 yards downfield. The scary thing is once in a while it works and he's incredible and he can do it because, he does have the ability to pull that off, but it just, you have to be smarter about that stuff. And I think that's sort of the first thing that comes to mind. And hopefully it gets better with more reps, and more stability, but it's hard to say. Some guys never really get that down.
Bill, in looking over your article about Sam, you talk about Adam Gase and the defense adjusted value over replacement, value over average, for his offenses, and you talk about it going in the wrong direction since 2013. It doesn't sound like you're sold on Adam Gase being the coach to get Sam Darnold to realize his full potential.
I'm skeptical. I think that's certainly fair to say. I mean, obviously, a lot of what Adam Gase's resume was what he did with Peyton Manning in Denver. In 2013 and 2014, he was running the Colts offense. There was some minor stuff attached to it, but it was really just the offense Peyton had been running in Indianapolis transported to Denver. Now, of course, he goes to Chicago, has a pretty good year with Jay Cutler that first time. And 2016, the Dolphins make the playoffs with Ryan Tannehill as their starter for most of the season. Adam Gase looks like a genius. And then from then on, they've ranked by DVOA, that's that you mentioned, as one of the six worst offenses in all of football his last 2 years in Miami and his final year with the Jets. And granted, he did have some injuries. Of course, Darnold got hurt in 2019. Tannehill was out for all of 2017, missed some time in 2018. That does matter, but, he hasn't really had many solutions. Jay Cutler, who was the, guy the Dolphins brought in to replace Ryan Tannehill because he had familiarity with that offense, was terrible in 2017. Tannehill, did take it, it was okay in 2017, 2018. He took a major step forward after he got away from Adam Gase with Tennessee last year. So, I think it's still up in the air. I don't think he's obviously a problem, but I think you can make a case that that sort of story that Adam Gase is, a quarterback whisperer or a genius or a really great offensive mind, if we're really looking at that, 6 years in the rearview mirror, and he has not been that guy without Peyton Manning and that Colts offense.
Bill Barnwell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Bill, you mentioned Adam Gase and what a concern that is for you. And then you look at the receivers, which, if you went skill position up and down this Jets roster, it's not great. The offensive line was not good. I imagine those things will be a little bit better this year. But when you look at all those and throw them into a pile, the Jets coach, receivers, offensive line, all that, it's still got to be towards the bottom of the league, right? Can we put all the blame or say then that's the end of Sam Darnold if all those things line up negatively for him?
I think it would be unfair, but I think teams operate that way sometimes. Obviously, you think about someone like David Carr, where he was drafted by an expansion team, ended up on a roster that had a terrible offensive line, receivers were inconsistent, had a rough career, and by no fault of his own, just ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think so much of what makes quarterbacks work in the NFL is having that fit. Patrick Mahomes would not be a $500 million extension player if he was not with Andy Reid in Kansas City. That doesn't mean that he's a bad player. It doesn't mean that he's a fraud. He's an incredible player. But you have to have a combination of coaching staff and offensive line and receivers and scheme and stability and health. All of that plus your own skills are going to factor in. And I think when you look at history, especially when it comes to quarterbacks on this sort of since the CBA sort of limited quarterback contracts, it really has been a 3, sometimes 4 year process for these guys. So, would it shock me if they gave him a fourth year if he struggled in 2019 or 2020? Not necessarily. You can always make excuses, but I think that at the end of the day, you have to have more hope than what we've seen out of Darnold, even given those concerns about his offensive line and the receivers.
Bill Barnwell joins us on the show. In you know, going through all the negatives and everything else, one of the glaring things that stood out in your article, which I still can't believe, and I'm sitting here looking at it, was you talked about Adam Gase and how he would script the first 15 to 25 plays, and you actually went through the first 15. And this number is startling to me. I don't understand how this is even possible. So Sam Darnold's QBR in the first 15 plays in 2019 ranked 15th in the league out of the 30 starters. His QBR on all other plays was dead last. So, I mean, that's pretty much – that's insinuating that they make no in-game adjustments for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, I watched that Patriots game, the scene ghost game, the famous game. Number one, I've never seen a quarterback look more lost in the second half of that game than I saw Sam Darnold. And I, you know, I felt bad, and I should never pity an NFL quarterback. He's got a lot of things going for him. It was a week after an incredible performance against the Cowboys. He was great in the Cowboys game. The following week, an absolute disaster. And some of that is the defense, but the Patriots had a formula for sort of blowing up Sam Darnold in the backfield. They were using this sort of
zero blitz.
Yeah, they were using the zero blitz, and they were using not only a zero blitz, but also a concept where they were playing man, and they were threatening a blitz and then kind of dropping guys off at the last possible second. I think that's where the scene ghost element came from, because there were guys in Sam's throwing lanes he was not expecting. And to me, if you're an NFL head coach, you know, that's not a new concept. You should have an answer to that. You should have a plan B to get the ball out quickly, to play quick game, use your screen game, just do anything to keep your quarterback from getting killed and losing his confidence in that pocket when the Patriots are doing this. And Adam Gase did not have a plan B. There was not a steady solution that kind of caused the Patriots to get off that concept defensively. They were able to do that all game with success throughout the entire contest. So, you know, I think that's troubling that there's not really a, you know, that sort of the ability to adjust, you know, to seeing what the defense is doing. And I think even going back to watching this team play early in the season, late in the season, there were times where I saw receivers running into each other on a root concept in week two, and receivers running into each other on the same root concept down 15 yards downfield in week 16. And if that's happening, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, the receivers aren't doing their job, but you have to know your personnel. You have to know, hey, we can't put those guys on that root concept if they're going to continuously run into each other. It's not going to do anything to help Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I don't. It's actually just crazy to me, because I'm listening to Bill describe the struggles that he had in that game against the Patriots, and the blitz that they were running is casino blitz. I played on three different teams, and every defense had that same exact blitz. Wherever the offensive line slides to, that group drops out, and the other guys that are away from the slide, they keep on coming. And it's amazing that Adam Gase didn't have any answers for that in the second half of that game. But Bill, I guess I got to ask you this. Through all the change in the division this offseason, where do you expect the Jets to finish in the AFC East?
Yeah, I'm thinking third again. I think it's going to be similar to what we saw a year ago. We're going to see some promising stuff. We're going to see some games where they look lost. We're going to see a very tough schedule early in the season. And I think we're going to have some hope later in the year, because the schedule does lighten up. But to me, I think this is still a 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 maybe if you're lucky football team. I just think, you know, and it's not just Sam Darnold. I don't want to say that. It's not even just Adam Gase. I think it's years of poor drafting, poor decision-making and free agency. And I think that's really hurt the Jets, because there's not a deep roster. There's, I think, some strides have been made. I think there's some promise to be held for the future. But I think if you can get an 8-8 season and a promising year out of Sam Darnold, where you kind of think, okay, he's our guy again, I do think that would be kind of the upper bound of my expectations for the Jets this year.
So if he's average, and Bill Barnwell with us here, 98.7 ESPN, if he's, just say average, if you look at him and it's sure. more of, you know what, he gave you moments that you say, oh, this is going to be good, and moments where he looked kind of lost out there, and the Jets are 6-10, and you have the top five pick, you'd do it? I mean, you would really take the next quarterback and after 3 years say, I'm sorry, we got to move on from this kid?
I don't know. I put it this way. I'm not saying you would for sure, but I think it depends on what grade you have on that quarterback. If you think he is, you know, the next Joe Burrow, or you think he's the next Lamar Jackson or the next Patrick Mahomes, I think you have to do it. But if it's something else, then maybe you don't make that decision. But I think you have to have that conversation. And I think we saw, hey, think about Mitchell Trubisky, right? You know, a guy who, I'm not saying Sam Darnold is Mitchell Trubisky, but after year two, Trubisky looked like he was on the up and up. The Bears were a playoff team. You know, they were an ascending team. A year later, they're declining Trubisky's fifth-year option because he looked lost. They're trading for Nick Foles. They're rebuilding that roster around a new quarterback situation and moving on from Mitchell Trubisky. And Mitchell Trubisky, to be honest with you, had more success as a sophomore than Sam Darnold had as a sophomore. So, you know, I think it depends on what you see out of Darnold, but I can't rule it out. I can't say it's out of the question. It wouldn't be my personal choice, but I think history says, you know, it's something that teams are going to consider after 3 years.
Yeah, but Bill, isn't this counterintuitive? I mean, by definition, a quarterback in the National Football League, especially one as young as Sam Darnold was when he was drafted, that's a developmental position. Why are all these teams? It feels like, I mean, is it just because there's more, you know, there's better college quarterbacks, you know, coming down, like, available now, so you're quicker to make that decision? I mean, why? It feels like all of a sudden, you know, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, these quarterbacks going into year three, that there is, like, there's this huge amount of pressure to perform now, or they could, you know, ultimately end up losing their jobs.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. You know, I think we did give quarterbacks more time, you know, earlier in the NFL cycle. Trent Dilfer had, like, some awful numbers, you know, like, his first couple of years and still kept his job and had a pro career. But I think it's the finances involved. You know, we have quarterbacks who are bargains on their rookie contracts, and a lot of teams have won Super Bowls with quarterbacks in that exact situation. The Chiefs took it with Mahomes. And at the end of that third year is when we start seeing teams work on extensions. We saw Mahomes sign a deal after 3 years. We saw Jared Goff, Carson Wentz sign extensions after 3 years. That's when the money starts really taking place, and you have to decide on your quarterback's fifth-year option, which is a, you know, not yet fully guaranteed, but a you know, significant sum you have to be willing to risk in case your quarterback does get hurt. So I think that's why the three-year window has come into place. Again, we've seen, you know, Blake Bortles is a good example where he kind of struggled and still got time. But that was the same general manager. It was the same coach for the first 4 years. It was a very stable organization. The Jets have not been a stable organization since Sam left. So, you know, to me, I would rather give, especially like you said, a very young quarterback like Sam who came into the league, right after turning 21, I think. I would rather give him more time than less. I'd rather give him a fourth year. But I do think we're seeing the finances dictate that teams, you know, really start having that referendum after year three.
And, Bill, to that end, I mean, Sam Darnold was one of five quarterbacks taken in the first round in that 2018 draft. I think Lamar Jackson is clearly in the best spot of the five, having won an MVP last year. But if you were buying stock in one of the other four, who would be the guy that you would be the most bullish on?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would say Baker, and I think – it's not because I think Baker is the most talented of the bunch, but I think he is in the best situation. I think he has the best offensive coaching around him. I think he has the best scheme, that play-action scheme to play to his strengths. I think the running game is going to be effective. And they have weapons. They have an offensive line that they've invested a lot in. They have a lot of talent around Baker Mayfield. And I think, you know, Lamar Jackson is an incredible quarterback, and I think he'd be great for any team. But I think the reason Lamar Jackson went from being, you know, a possible good prospect to being an MVP was because the Ravens built their entire offense around Lamar Jackson's strengths, the running game, the coaching staff, the tight ends, the receivers they brought in. Everything is built around what Lamar does best. And so I think with Baker, I think he has the second best surroundings of that group. And so that makes me think I'm most inclined to think he's going to succeed moving forward.
All right, last one, and we'll let you go after this. And this will either get Rick upset or me upset. We'll see what direction we go in. If you could have either Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold, who would you take?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would rather go with Sam Darnold at this point. Even though the pro struggles have been a concern, I think, you know, a better quarterback in college. And I think just the upside is there. You know, with Daniel Jones, I think we saw some moments last year against some, you know, the weaker competition. I don't have anything really negative to say about Daniel Jones after his first. I mean, he looked like a rookie, which is fine. But I think with Sam Darnold, the upside, the things we've seen when he's playing well, he looks awesome. I mean, if you watch that Cowboys tape, he looked like the quarterback of the next 15 years for the Jets. And I think, you know, I think there's been more games like that from Sam Darnold than I have seen from Daniel Jones, just because it's been 2 years as opposed to one. So I do feel like I'd rather go with Sam Darnold, but it's closer than I would have expected heading into the offseason.
All right. Well, Bill, we really appreciate it. And when you come out with another one of these terrific articles, we'll have you on again to discuss and promote. Good stuff as always.
Anytime, guys.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Bill Barnwell. There you have it.
Terrific article. Yeah, terrific article because it was centered around Sam Darnold and not Daniel Jones, you jerk.
Well, yeah, but he was so excited by the question. He said, what a great question.
Oh, it was a terrific question. The article, I mean, it makes me sick.
I still think if it doesn't work out with him, it's not even his fault. I think
you know what it's and that's exactly what it sounded like from Bill, Dave. It sounded like the Jets are holding Sam Darnold hostage. That's based on everything that he says, that's what it feels like. For them to not have answers for that kid in a New England game after he played one of the best games of his career the week before that, like that's absolutely ridiculous. And it wasn't all that complicated what Bill Belichick was trying to do.
Listen to what he's talking about, this, though.
Go ahead.
No, but I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we sit here and we talk about Pat Mahomes and, you know, name the young quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and how, you know, the entire offense was built around him. And then we're in a situation with Sam Darnold. You read through this article, you listen to Bill Barnwell. I got, you know, okay, scripted plays work. Everything after the 15 scripted plays, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. I got wide receivers running into each other. I got wide receivers all on the same side of the field. Like they can't make any in-game adjustments. What do you want him to do?
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do?
It's not surprising that he's had these 2 years, but it's sad.
No, but it's further proof is bad organizations find ways to ruin good players.
Yes. Well, I mean, just a thought. Could you imagine that? If he has a subpar season year 3 and you draft a quarterback? I mean, you're basically inept if you're the Jets.
Dave, we took phone calls on this last year, Dave. You act like this is something new. We took phone calls from Jets fans saying that exact
same
thing.
After 2 years. To the fact that guys like Bill Barnwell are saying there's a real chance that you'd move on from after 3 years, it's shocking to me.
That's crazy to me, Dave. I think that's way too soon. And we've seen flashes of Sam. I mean, he does things that not a lot of other quarterbacks can do. I mean, I go back to that game that they had on a short week against the Baltimore Ravens. That touchdown pass that he threw to Jamison Crowder, the corner of the end zone. I mean, you're talking about a handful of quarterbacks that can make that throw in the NFL, and he's one of them.
Yeah, but the problem is, Chris, you get stuck in this vicious cycle. Is now all of a sudden, now I would say the exact same thing, but say he does have an average season, the team wins 6 games, and they fire Adam Gase. So now year 4, he's got a new head coach in a new system. Is he going to be great in that first year? Probably not.
And again, he's not Joe Douglas.
Well, if I
guy.
Realize I don't have a good head coach, let's get rid of that. Let's try to find a competent head coach, and then we'll evaluate moving forward. I'm not ready to give up on Sam when I still got a huge question mark as to whether or not the guy that I hired as my head coach a couple of years ago can do the job. Like, we don't know if Adam Gase is a good head coach.
Exactly right. I'm not saying...
We have no idea.
Listen, I don't think you give up on him either. I mean, you're talking about a young kid in the quarterback position of all positions in any sport. That's a developmental position. Like, it's a lot of things have to go right in order for that quarterback to reach its potential. I'm just saying, as far as how he performs, now all of a sudden you get stuck in the cycle where the 2 years are gone, you have year 3, Everyone thinks the head coach isn't very good, put him in a good situation, doesn't have great weapons, so he struggles. Now, all of a sudden, new head coach, new system, it's not like he's taking a step forward. He's kind of just staying in neutral. So he's not really having that big pop. Now you're through year 4. You still haven't seen his full potential, and you're like, okay, well, what is this kid? I don't know what he is because it's been 4 years. Well, go back and look at the 4 years. Look at the instability in different coaches and everything else. I mean, what do you expect this kid to be in 4 years? You're not helping him develop.
You're right, Rick, and it might take him long. It might take the organization a little bit longer because they've had so much dysfunction and so much turnover with the head coach and the general manager. But when I look at where Sam Darnold is and I look at the raw materials that you have to work with, I mean, I just can't help but think this is why you have the franchise tag. This is why you have the fifth-year option. If you need to use those mechanisms to play out the string to give yourself more time to evaluate him under the right circumstances, then that's exactly what you got to do. But it's way too early to be talking about giving up on Sam Darnold.
I agree with you.
Way too early.
I mean, Bill Barnwell is not some nobody when it comes to covering the NFL. He knows it really well.
No, he does know it really well. And by reading his article, you can tell that he doesn't trust the head coach. So to me, I don't want to dismiss everything that's happened to Sam in the Adam Gase era of the Jets. But I take it with a grain of salt because I don't have enough of a track record with the head coach and him having success. I just don't. So yeah. I don't know that I can lay all of the failings of the Jets this past year on Sam Darnold. I can't do that.
I tend to agree with you a lot, and I don't blame a lot of it on him. The organization has been, you could argue, dysfunctional since he's been here.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, boys. Tuesday edition of Knobservations, as we like to do to start off Knobservations. Let's get a live looking at the weather with the svelte, handsome, gorgeous David Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
I wish I had better news to report, guys. This is not a great day by any stretch. Very overcast. Now, it looked like we were going to have rain much of the day. That might not happen. Sunset, 8:29, as the days start to get a little bit shorter already. Chance of rain at 30%. Humidity up there at 74%. A little bit windy. East, southeast, if you're keeping score at home, 9 miles an hour. Feels like 75, and it's going to go up to 77, maybe even 79 a little bit later on. During the course of the day, precipitation, a tenth of an inch up to this point. The barometric pressure is just a tad over 30. Visibility, surprisingly, is good at 10 miles. UV index 6, so you know today is not that day that you need to really put a lot of the sunblock on. Air quality index a little bit higher than the norm at 39, still in that good category. But guys, you know, looking ahead on the Doppler, it's not a pretty day. And then overnight, I expect some rain into tomorrow. So not a great forecast for the coming days.
Not great news, Dave.
No, I'm sorry.
It's not. I could use a day off in the pool. I'm going to be honest. I could use a day off.
But I can't. I'm not going to lie to you. You might have a lot of days off in the pool looking at the upcoming Doppler.
Unless there's lightning. No days off. This is like I run the New England Patriots of pool use. No days
really?
Off. There's no days
you're
off.
You're getting your money out of that pool, huh?
No excuses. Do your job.
Exactly right. Exactly right. My skin is just flaking off. My hair is like hay. Just the chlorine has just wreaked havoc. All right, boys. Game show. Sweeping the nation.
That's right.
Sweeping the nation. Dave Rothenberg with a commanding 1-0 lead.
That's not commanding. 1-0 is not commanding.
On a five-game series, it's commanding.
Hardly is that. I think if I win today and 2-0, it's commanding.
Listen, it's better than down one.
I agree. But you didn't say I'm in decent shape. You said I'm in commanding shape. I'm
you
not
command
in
the board.
Shape.
You decide who goes first. I would say that's pretty commanding.
All right.
Correct?
That might be I'm in command of the board, but I don't think that my situation is commanding.
Yeah, you're just difficult today. What happened to you this morning? I mean,
you
just want to fight today.
You know what? I need nice weather. I don't do well with overcast skies.
That's because you're off gallivanting, barbecuing, and everything else. A social butterfly all of a sudden.
Well, you know what? There's nothing. I have nothing to do.
You're a butterfly in the shape
of a cocoon. There's nothing to do.
My day really is the exact same day on repeat.
It's just Groundhog Day over and over.
There's nothing different. There is legitimately nothing different about my day.
It's the exact nothing. Same day over
except
and over.
Except the bedtime. All here right. we go, Dave. What would you like to do? Would you like to start?
I'd like to give Chris the honors to go first here.
All right, I'm going with 8:14 p.m. 8:14 p.m. as Rick's bedtime last night.
8:14 p.m. David Rothenberg, a chance to take a commanding.
Agreed. Commanding.
Commanding lead.
I'm going to go to try to take said commanding lead. I heard no tips today of where you went to bed last night. He did give a clue.
He gave a clue.
See, you're so good with picking up on the clues. But I'm going to say 8:13, and I'm going to go with that final answer.
So you had 8:13. Christopher Canty had 8:14, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Christopher Canty ties it up at 1. 8:58 bedtime last night.
8:58.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, one Rick DiPietro said he was locked into the Yankees last night?
Correct. That is correct. Something about baseball. I got Kay doing the call. I mean, just I couldn't keep my eyes off of it.
Yeah.
All right.
As crazy as it was.
So my commanding lead is now no more.
It's dissipated. We're all tied up, which is good for the show, which is good for the game, to be honest.
Okay.
It's great for the game. Okay. People love competition. They love competition. And can I just make this one observation? Could be an observation. And listen, you know me. I mean, sun's out, guns out. I'm not afraid to wear a sleeveless shirt whenever.
If a shirt at all, we know. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not even a shirt, maybe not even pants. Who knows? I could be up, you know, rollerblading down the street with, you know, just a pair of skimpy shorts on. You never know. You never know. If I see Stanton with a sleeveless shirt on again, I'm gonna start to get a little bit aggravated. I don't care how at this point, you can't stay healthy. I don't care how perfectly sculpted your biceps are at this point. I don't need to see it.
It doesn't feel very Yankee way-ish, does it?
I don't even care about Yankee way. Like, I mean, there's a reason why you're always hurt. Like, maybe let's not focus on, like, looking like you're chiseled out of stone and maybe focus on, like, you know, doing some activities that keep you healthy, maybe. You don't have to look awesome. Let's just, like, focus on,
matters
you know,
to him.
Like, functional strength. Let's be functional where you can, like, play the outfield and you're not always pulling muscles. Like, Bryson DeChambeau was humongous, but he's functionally strong.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't lost flexibility. He's just, he creates more swing speed. He's still flexible. Like, I mean, stand, yeah, show off the muscles. That's fine. But you're never healthy. Like, I don't need to see it. It's not functional. No one's paying you to look like an underwear model. They're paying you to play.
Well, hopefully he gets to play this year. Say he's healthy now.
Yeah, hopefully. Who knows? Yeah. And he says he's 100%, but, I mean, I don't know what that means. But, again, I will say this, though, too. One thing I noticed, too, watching that game, the pitchers may be further along than I think everyone expected.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Speaking of good news for Chris Canty, because I love to start an observations with good news, your boy Schmitty looked nasty last night.
He did look good last night.
Yeah, he did.
Filthy.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't want to bring – I brought up Stanton with the arms. I could have brought up the at-bat, too. He was just standing there, bat on his shoulder.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be negative like that. Don't be that guy.
How about the catcher? How about the umpire, Enrico Palazzo? Did you see that?
Yeah, it was funny.
banging him. The strike three call? Oh, it was perfect. All right, here we go. There's some good news. I guess you could look at this as good news. We all agree that the Brooklyn Nets are a complete mess.
Mm-hmm.
Would we all agree with that?
Yeah.
A complete mess? I think it's messy, yeah.
Well, it seems like it seems like the foundation that they built, like all this, you know, team camaraderie has kind of just, I mean, felt like it.
You know, I would agree that there's some concerns there, yes.
Yeah, you fired your head coach. So the reason why I say this could be good news in the midst of bad news. So this is what Spencer Dinwiddie tweeted. After another positive test yesterday and considering the symptoms, the Brooklyn Nets team doctors and I have decided that it would be in the best interest for me and the team that I do not play in Orlando. I will be supporting the guys every step of the way. So you got no KD, no Kyrie, no DeAndre Jordan, and you got no Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Why is this good news? Dave, ask me the question. Why could this be good news?
Why could this be good news?
Because guess who gets to keep their first-round draft pick if they don't make the playoffs?
Why don't you tell us?
The Brooklyn Nets do.
Oh, there you go.
Which is when you look at where the standings currently sit with their team.
So where are they? They're in, what, the seventh spot now?
Seventh, yeah. But remember, you got the play-in, too. So if you're four or less back of, if the ninth seed is four games or less back of the AC, then you have the play-in.
Right, and they could easily fall to within four games of Washington.
Yeah, no Brad Beal and no Davis Bertans?
No, correct. But, I mean, they're half a game better than Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And right now,
Orlando passes them.
You would hope so at this point.
Yes.
You would expect
I'm just trying to shine some light on, you know, this could be a good thing, maybe.
Could be.
Get to keep your draft pick. Who knows?
Possible.
Speaking of which, Canty just stole my thunder, too. Brad Beal is also out. He will not be participating in the restart.
Yeah, and
do you think it's
hints.
Really the rotator cuff, or he doesn't like this whole bubble situation?
It's probably
he was
the motivator.
On the fence.
Yeah, I would say it's probably the motivator cuff. Not interested. All right, here we go, boys. Let's get this thing going. We're going to get to Did This Happen in Florida? Ready for this?
Go.
Okay, here we go. This is a 55-year-old man was charged Monday with wanton endangerment. Okay, and why was he charged with this? Because an arm wrestling contest between this 55-year-old man and his son soon turned violent and led to an 8-hour standoff with authorities.
What? Well, how did
they
that
said
happen?
This man? They said this 50-year-old man was intoxicated when he challenged his son to an arm wrestling competition.
Okay.
When the dad lost multiple times, he became agitated and got into a physical fight with his son. He then grabbed a gun and fired two shots into the ceiling while his son was going upstairs. No one was injured.
God.
When authorities arrived, two family members were outside. The 55-year-old man refused to leave the home, leading to an 8-hour standoff. Finally surrendered at around 8:30 a.m.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm reading this.
8 hours? I mean, could you imagine if you're a policeman and you got to go deal with a father-son arm wrestling battle that's gone wrong? Again, I'm going to go with my continued way of thinking here, and I'm going to say not Florida, because everywhere is now Florida.
You imagine you pull up, like say you're the second squad car. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we dealing with here? Well, this is what happened. So this dad, he challenged this kid over here to an arm, lost a couple times, and now he's sitting in the house, he won't come out.
Won't come out. He's shooting a weapon
to the ceiling.
Forget about it. Won't come out. He's shooting at his son.
But the father is throwing a tantrum because he lost to the son multiple times by shooting a gun in the house. Not shooting at anybody, but shooting a gun in the house.
Yeah, in the general vicinity of where the kid was going. Yeah.
I'm not Florida.
Not Florida. Chris Kenny, no. What are you?
I'm going with Dave Rothenberg just because I've been wrong too many times going against what Dave is saying.
Yeah, that's probably a good out. Ray Santiago, you're back after dropping a little.
Excuse
poo-poo.
Me. I don't think it's Florida just because I don't see an 8-hour standoff. They're not waiting that long. Yes,
did
of course.
Wash your hands. Wash
your hands every time. Everything's great.
It's not that. Did they get the 2-ply yet?
You're such a bad guy. He says before the segment, I'm not feeling great. Don't go to me. And you bring him on and you start just dissecting.
Well, no, I did tell him I was back. So, but I didn't think he'd go there. But I should have known better because yeah. As was said earlier in the show, this is Rick DiPietro.
Yes.
Was it solid? Was it a solid movement?
Oh, come on!
Man,
I'm just joking.
There.
I'm
can't
joking. It's lunchtime. I'm joking. I kid. You guys are all correct. That was Kentucky.
Kentucky.
That was Kentucky. Yeah,
that makes sense, right? Arm wrestling.
Yeah, not really. I mean,
not really. There's no part about that makes sense, Dave.
I could see that. Kentucky makes sense.
This is interesting. This is actually a tweet from Adam McCalvey. He says, "Will the no licking fingers rule be an adjustment for pitchers?" Not for Brewers' Brent Suter. He said he usually goes to his armpit to get moisture for the baseball.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Right to the pits.
Right. Superstar.
Put a little funk on that thing, Rick. Put a little funk on it.
Superstar.
Oh, God.
And here's today's last story. This is an observation, not an observation. I mean, this is... I don't know how Dave Rothenberg would deal with this, because I feel like if Dave did this, Canty and I, if this happened, we'd be pretty pumped up. You guys already know I'm a qualified NFC South insider, so I don't need the pat on the back. But I could imagine if Dave Rothenberg somehow found a way to scoop the king of scoops, Adam Schefter, I mean, he'd be insufferable.
Oh, yeah, correct? It would be awful, right.
Did you see what happened with the Pat Mahomes 10-year extension?
No.
That Adam Schefter was actually scooped?
By who?
Adam Schefter was scooped by a liquor store employee.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even joking. So, Katie Camlin, she works at a liquor store, tweeted at 12:21 p.m., a front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. Says there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones. So, my guess is Mahomes' deal.
Wow.
Wow.
Good
How
for
about
him.
That?
Wow, that's
good
awesome.
For her.
That is awesome.
Scoops.
That's unbelievable.
And then she tweets, holy bleep, I beat Schefter, ha ha ha.
She did.
She did.
I'm sure the news desk wasn't very happy about this.
Right? She's going to
get reprimanded
at
work.
She's going to be
Nobody scoop Schefter. Nobody scoop Schefter.
Oh, there you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of Knobservations.
Can I throw in a quick observation?
Please, throw in a knob.
Which is so unbelievable and disgusting to me. I know
wild.
You guys have seen it. DeSean Jackson is quoting Adolf Hitler to promote racial equality. And it turns out, in fact, that the quote of Adolf Hitler wasn't even attributed to Adolf Hitler, something that he apparently never said. So here's my take on it. Either DeSean Jackson is an anti-Semite, which would be disgusting, or he's just an idiot, which would be probably lesser disgusting. But I can't even believe that he would come out with statements like this, and I'm horrified by it, and I think most people are. And then the Eagles come out with this, I don't know, just half-hearted statement in response of, we've spoken with DeSean Jackson about his social media posts, regardless of intentions. The messages he shared were offensive, harmful, and just appalling. They have no place in our society, goes on and on and on. We hope that DeSean grows and educates and learns from his mistake. I don't know. And then you have a lot of people, Chris, coming out and saying, well, Riley Cooper awful. I'm not comparing it to Riley Cooper, who I thought was also awful. I'm just taking this instance in its own, and I'm disgusted by DeSean Jackson right now.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, DeSean Jackson's comments on social media scream of ignorance. Like, he's clearly not educated on. And just as a rule of thumb, it's not a good idea to cite Adolf Hitler in anything that you're talking about when discussing the fight for equality in this country. Just probably not a good rule of thumb. Just saying.
Yeah,
but
I mean, wouldn't
there's,
think that
there's
you'd
a lot of
Hitler.
That going around in our society these days, Dave. There's a lot of ignorance going on, and it starts with the highest office in this country. I mean, you had the President of the United States tweeting about the sports world yesterday, and his comments came off as ignorant. I mean, when he's talking about the Washington football team and the Cleveland Indians thinking about changing their names, and he said that that's ridiculous. So it's unfortunate that you have people out here that share these ridiculous notions and ideologies, and we got to do a better job of calling everyone to the carpet when they put that nonsense out there.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, and it's so disheartening. And he comes out and says, "Well, I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't know why you took it the wrong way, because we're quoting one of the biggest monsters to ever walk the face of the earth, or so you thought." So I just wanted to get that out there, the take, and add to the end of an observation. So thanks for a moment for that.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.